All right, turn with me to Ephesians 2:4 if you have your Bibles, and I'd really love for you to bring your Bibles so that you can learn where the books are in the Bible, and also to kind of go along there, and I guarantee you if you underline in your Bible, you're not committing any sin within Moses' law or by grace or whatever. You could just underline those things, and sometimes you want to do that, so... Now, my question is, before we get started, did anybody, or are you still sticking with the Ephesians 1, 2, all right, I love it. For you who don't know what I'm talking about, we have kind of challenged ourselves for 30 days to read Ephesians chapter 1, and then the first 10 verses of chapter 2, so that you know who you are in Christ, and you know what God has made you into, because it gives you a whole different outlook on being a Christian. A lot of promises in there. So anyhow, if you haven't started it, go ahead and start it, and we'll be talking together about it, because boy, what I'd love to do is share with you as you start seeing, each day that you read, you kind of find a little bit different nugget, don't you? You who are doing it, and there's little nuggets all over, and all of a sudden one day you get hit, and man, I'd love to hear that from you if you want to share it. Maybe we can even, after the 30 days, get up and have some people share what in the world they have seen important in their life. So that'd be great. This evening, we're going to talk about God's great love. And let's start by just reading our verses. And I have yellow words up there. And what I want you to do as I read it is when we get to the yellow words, you say them out loud. Okay, now are you committed to that?
Yes.
Okay, all right. All right. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his which he, even when we were dead, in trespass, sorry, I didn't say my words, okay. Oh, I'm in white. Okay, sorry, okay. Okay, even when we were dead in trespasses,
made us alive together with Christ.
By grace you have been saved. Isn't that great? Made us alive together with Christ. You know, it's a word... the word I love in there, it is when he says made us alive together with. Together with is a word that's used over and over about us in Christ. And we are together with Christ. And I love that. You know, I was thinking about it and I thought, you know, he talks about his great love. But it's because grace exists because of God's mercy and his great love. And for you who are new today, we've just gone through a couple scriptures, the first three verses, and we've talked about that we were once dead, and I guess maybe the best word is dominated by the evil one, and we were under the wrath of God, and we were helpless and hopeless. And then we get to verse 4, and it says, but God. Now, I love that. But God. Now, I want you to think about that statement, because he intervened when you and I were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? He intervened. Now, I think we have a weakened force, the force of what the verse means when it says that, when it talks about God's great love. It's weakened because great has been weakened in our vocabulary, at least in English, because we say, wasn't that meal great? Right? And so it's like, yeah, it was pretty good. Boy, was that movie great? And so we're saying the movie's a little bit better than average, otherwise it was just good, okay? Or the speaker was great. Or Kellogg's cornflakes are great. Right? And so we've kind of prostituted that word. You know, it's amazing what a little sugar will do, huh? Okay. But it, yeah, thanks. Okay, all right, I'll slow down here a little. But the word great in English does not measure up to what the Bible means when it says the love of God is great. When I hear the words great, his great love, my mind goes back to my childhood. I remember when we first started out in church, and I remember my first experience in Daily Vacation Bible School, VBS, right? And we learned John 3:16. How many of you learned John 3:16 when you were young? Yeah, okay, we got a lot of people. And I think the simplicity of John's 3:16 really explains his great love to us. John 3:16 was the same verse that completely and utterly changed Dwight L. Moody's life. Now, you might say, who's Dwight L. Moody? He was in the 1900s, the 1800s, 19th century. He was the evangelist of his time. Thousands and thousands of people came to Christ through Dwight. And when he learned John 3:16, he caught on fire. I don't know of another way to put it. He just all of a sudden caught on fire. Now, this verse, he learned the depth of the greatness of God in this life, and coupled with Ephesians 2:4 and John 3:16, it was incredible. Now, let me tell you about his story a little bit. Moody had traveled to Britain in his early days of a ministry. He had his church in Chicago, and he actually knew very little about the Bible because so many people didn't have a Bible, and for a lot of years he kind of struggled trying to learn as much as he could. And so he went to Britain because he was asked to come speak, and he met a young British preacher named Henry Morehouse. Now, Henry Morehouse was only 19 years old. That's the guy up on the right. Moody's on the left. And he was 19 years old, and he was a preacher, and Moody didn't know him really well. He had just met him. But this guy ended up being a Bible expositor. He wrote commentaries and that kind of thing. But here's one 19-year-old Morehouse talking to Moody, and he said to Moody, I'm thinking about traveling to America. And Moody answered back, like probably a lot of us would, well, if you should ever get to Chicago, right, come down to my church and I'll give you a chance to preach. Now, Moody was being polite, as I read some of his history. He's being polite because he didn't even know and never had heard Morehouse even preach. And so he's hoping he wouldn't take his invitation serious because he didn't know what it might happen. And he had no idea what he'd say if he preached at Moody's Chicago church. Well, sometime later, after Moody returned home, he received a telegram that said this: have just arrived in New York, stop. We'll be in Chicago on Sunday, stop. Morehouse. Now, I kind of know that feeling, you know, because a lot of people say, well, can I come to your church and preach? And I'm like, well, I've never heard you. So Moody was kind of baffled as to what to do with Morehouse because to make the matters more complicated, he was leaving town for the whole week on a preaching tour, and he would not be there when Morehouse came. So finally he said to his wife and to the leaders of the church, he says, I think that I should let him preach once. So let him preach once, then if the people enjoy him, put him on again. So Moody was gone for a week, and when he returned, he asked his wife, how did the young preacher do? I love her response. She said, oh, he's a better preacher than you are. Ooh, wouldn't you hate that? And he says, he's telling sinners that God loves them. And Moody said, well, that's not right. God doesn't love sinners. And she said, well, you got to go hear him. And he says, what? Do you mean he's still preaching? And she said, yeah, he's been preaching all week, Annie. And he's only used one verse, and that is John 3:16, and he's going to preach on it again tonight. Been preaching on it for a week. So Moody went to the meeting. That night, Morehouse got up and began to preach on John 3:16 again for the sixth or seventh time, and just as he had for the whole week. And so Moody listened and realized God does love sinners. With his great love, he loves sinners. And afterwards, Moody said it was on that night that he first clearly understood God's great love. And you know, as I look back, I think, you know, a lot of times there's things in our life that all of a sudden set us on fire. You know what I mean? You can kind of go along in church, and yeah, that was a good sermon, and by the time you get to the door, you don't remember a word, or, you know, you talk to your friend and that kind of thing, then all of a sudden somebody says something or does something that all of a sudden his love sinks into your soul. You been there? And he became that century's most famous evangelist. He's one of my favorite stories, biographies, is reading about Dwight L. Moody. And here's the verse that Morehouse talked about. For God, and if you know it, you can go ahead and say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, could you think of a better verse than that? I love that verse. And I agree with Moody that John 3:16 is the essence of God's great love that we're talking about in Ephesians. Because God gave at no cost to us and all the cost to him, his only born son, Jesus Christ, shedding his blood for us that, so that you and I would have free rights to eternal life. Martin Luther called John 3:16 the heart of the Bible, the gospel in miniature. And I'm going to go, can you go to the next slide? I want you to take a look at this and think about it. God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest number, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest invitation, believeth, the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest person, should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. And that's what we have really been reading in Ephesians chapter 1, is we have a possession, and we are his possession. So we get back to Ephesians chapter 2, 4, and 5, and it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Now, if we only had that verse in the Bible, we got it made. Isn't that true? His great love. He loves you, not just loving you, but he loves you with a great love. I mean, just stop to think about it. He loved you so much, he gave his only born son. You know, in fact, you realize that in the Bible, really in the New Testament, his death on the cross is a measurement of how much God loves you. Let me just quote a few verses here. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, what? Christ died for us, okay? Galatians 2:20. In the life, I'm going to just read the second half. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 5:25. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and what? Gave himself for her. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 4:9-10. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the mercy seat for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, good. We ought to love one another. Revelation 1:5. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Isn't it amazing how many verses there are about the cross and about his sacrifice? God sacrificed his Son, and Jesus Christ willingly sacrificed his own life to reach you and to reach me. And people like you and me, who were totally unworthy and undeserving of anything, were made worthy before God through his blood and through his sacrifice. God loves us. Do you heart know that yet? He loves you with a great love, and one by one, time by time, that knowledge begins to enter our head, and finally it begins to sink into the heart of us, and it begins to take over our lives. And I want you to be real careful, because if you really come to the place that you understand God's great love, it's going to change your life and make you into a person you are not right now. I'm telling you. And we will begin to experience the power that God has given us to do his will in our lives. You know, Sunday morning plays a song once in a while. It's an old hymn of God's love in memorable language. It was written by Frederick Lehman. But the final stanza in that song was added to the song afterwards when it was found written on a wall of an asylum by a man who, before he died, had obviously come to this immeasurable extent of God's great love. And he wrote this: "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his Son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin." And then he writes this next verse that's unbelievable if you can hear it. "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole through stretched from sky to sky." And then the chorus goes like this: "O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song." Can you see his awakening? He's looking at the sky as a whole parchment. He's looking at the ocean is all ink, and every stick that grows on the ground, everybody uses to write the love of God, and they can't get it done on this earth. Dwight L. Moody finally came to grips with God's great love, and it totally changed his life. He became an evangelist rather than a pastor. Henry Morehouse finally came to grips with God's love in his early years, and it suddenly changed his life, and he became a great preacher and an expositor. And the question is, has the love of God changed your life? Because it will. Think with me for a minute. What if we gave up our self-absorption and all the things that we think are so important to ourselves to be happy, and we began to understand God's great love on a daily basis? What would happen to us? Well, I'll tell you. people would turn inside out in this church. People who never thought they could minister would rise up, and we'd even see some people who thought they had no spiritual gifts come to a place that were incomparable to other people. And God could really work through us in an amazing way because we would be captured by His great love and we'd understand it. And listen to God's point of view in this in my closing comments. I looked at Titus 2, which is, I just love that whole chapter, but we get to verse 14, and I'm going to add the word Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking about. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, another cross deal, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous, enthusiastic, passionate, obsessive. That's what the word means for good works. In other words, what he's saying is with Jesus Christ in our life and the love of God, you become so obsessive that you can't not minister. Do you get that? We would be swept away in loving him and loving others. And you know, his idea of serving is fun. Now, I know that may be new to you. Okay, it's not a pain in the neck. Oh, it has its days. His ideas are fulfilling. His ideas are right. So the question really is, do you want to jump aboard? If you want to jump aboard, read Ephesians 2, 4 this week. It's especially hard. And concentrate on his great love and what his great love accomplished. Let's pray. Father, we come tonight. Lord, I really pray that the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts on this issue. Lord, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells us that we are compelled by your love. We are grasped by your love. And Lord, I just pray that in each of our hearts that we will be grasped and compelled by your love to be able to love the people around us and love you in ways that we never thought possible. Lord, I know you want that to happen. You've said you wanted it to happen. So Lord, tonight we open up our hearts to you and ask you to fill up our hearts with your love, your great love. While our heads are bowed, you may be here tonight and you haven't given yourself over to God. You don't have a relationship with him. And let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and or the standards. And I know that if I asked how many here are sinners, everyone would raise their hand. And God said the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in Romans 10:9 it says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So while our heads are bowed, if I'm talking to you tonight and tonight you're ready, tonight's the night you want to really do it and give it up to God, just pray along with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. God, I believe Jesus rose from the dead like the verse said. So come into my life and save me today. And I'll serve you for the remainder of my life. While your heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer tonight and you really meant it, will you stick your hand up, put it back down, let God know you meant business. Anybody else? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your live word. What it does in our hearts. And Lord, I just pray tonight that as we eat soup together and fellowship together, that throughout the week, from that point forward, we will really begin to concentrate on your great love, which seated us together with Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.